Végtelen örökségeit, amit áthajt Sivászlán Gólyban tudunk.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama
Rama,
Hare Hare.
I'm not surprised, I wasn't expecting so many people. There's only 10 or 20. It's always a very emotional experience for me to come to London. And for the reasons that most people become emotional when they come to London to enjoy. I was reading the other day that this year, 2015, they're expecting that London will be the most popular city in the world to visit. So it's good you're not applauding. The second time the world is going to applaud. But people come for various reasons to see the culture of this great country, of course, but its real greatness, it achieved its real greatness despite its amazing history going back many, many centuries. England once ruled the world. And the popular saying that sun never sets on the British Empire. Now the sun never rises on the British Empire. But it's a grand history, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But the real fortune of this country is when Sri Prabhupada arrived, preceded, of course, by his illustrious disciples, Guru Das, Yamuna, I believe Mukunda came, and Janaki, Shamsundar, and Maruti. That's history. They should teach that in the British schools. At that point, like other places in the world, this country achieved their fortune because it was introduced to the Sankirtan movement, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is, of course, we know, predicted in Shastra. Many of you are from Indian background, Hindu background, so you're well aware of the Das avatars, the 10 avatars of Vishnu, which we celebrate in our Vedic culture. But many people don't know, even today in India, from the most recent avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes people say, but where is he mentioned in our Vedic scriptures? Because if you make a statement amongst people from India, especially scholars, you have to back it up with Shastric statement. So where is the appearance of the most recent avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, described? In the Bhagavad Purana, in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Vayam Tushar Krishnam Sangupanga Shapashadam Yagnai Sankirtan Prayar Shantihi Shumir Shahar. But that same personality who appeared at the end of the Pur Yuga, Sri Krishna Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's again appeared in the Kali Yuga, but his color is different. He's not a bluish black like a monsoon cloud, but rather he's of a golden color, because he appears in the mood of his consort, Srimati Radharani, to experience her love. And most important for all of us, to inaugurate the Yuga Dharma. Each age has a particular Dharma, a process of self-realization or Krishna consciousness culminating in love of God. And in this age, that process is wonderfully simple. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself predicted, and whatever the Lord predicts, that will come to pass. If you make a prediction, there's 50% chance it will happen, 50% chance it won't happen, or whatever the averages may be. But being conditioned souls, what do we know? But the Lord, when he makes a prediction, that will definitely come true. So he predicted 500 years ago and tried to imagine civilization in India 500 years ago. It was a big thing to go to the next province or to go to South India or up to North India. That was a great journey. The Mahaprabhu, he predicted in Bengal that one day this Gurudharma, the Sankirtan, which was inaugurated in Navadvip in West Bengal, the chanting of Hare Krishna would not only go to all the major cities of the world, not only the towns, but it would go to every single village in the world. What is this village called where we are? Lechmore Heath. Who would have imagined? Now Lechmore Heath is popular. It is famous because of the Hare Krishna movement. Previously it was a village. Now in many places you go. They said to me, Swamiji, I was in America, where are you going? I'm going to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Oh, Lechmore Heath. I have seen. Like they're saying, like they have seen Taj Mahal. I have seen. So this was predicted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his greatest ambassador, you could say, India's greatest ambassador, spiritual ambassador to the world, Srila Prabhupada, brought the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This movement was entrusted to our Guru Maharaj by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. Just like we can understand how dear is Srila Prabhupada to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Radha Krishna, because of the task that was given to him. If you have an important work, your lifetime work, which is very dear to your heart, and you're either not willing or not able to continue with it, then you entrust it to someone who's very dear to you. Just like I see in India, and sometimes they have the shops and ask, Gopal and Sons. The tradition was always passed down to the family, at least previously it was. Now so many of the young men and women, they want to leave India and go to Silicon Valley and do IT work. They don't want to continue the family tradition, but that was one of the beauties from Vedic culture. The tradition was handed down from father to son, to father to son, to father to son. So Krishna comes into this world with his mission, which is no small mission. In his mission, he has everyone in mind. Ritunaya saranam vinashaya duduskritam dharma samstam anartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. What is the Lord's mission? What is dear to his heart? Our spiritual welfare. Just like the father or mother, even if the children run away from home, the parents are always thinking of their welfare. The children may be disobedient and forget the parents, but the parents never forget the children. That's the nature of father and mother. So although we left the Lord a long time ago, Brahmanda Bhamati Konni Bhagivan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prashad Bhai Bhakti Lad Vij. Kaviraj Goswami gives a hint. Actually, Prabhupada translates it from time immemorial. The living entity has been wandering from Brahmanda, from universe to universe, from species of life to species of life, from body to body, in this material creation. So though we have forgotten the Lord, he never forgets us for one moment. And once in a day at Brahma, he comes here. Now you may think, oh, that's a long time. We're like ants. What is ant time compared to the universal time of the devatas? It's measured in a different way. So according to Gita, Krishna comes once in a day of Brahma. Now cosmic time, that means every day because the word day is used. It's not calculated like we would calculate it, many, many ages, millenniums together. Every day, with the same message. Sarva dhanyam paricha jam amikam saranam raja aham tam sarvapapebhyo moksasamasaja. All of you, just surrender unto me. Give up all your sinful activities, I will protect you from that reactions. Do not fear. Now someone comes to your house every day and knocks on the door with a message, that person is pretty determined. And you may not open the door. And the very fact that that person comes back again the next day knocks on the door. amazing. One day, Prabhupada said, I heard him say one time, one day everyone will go back to the spiritual world. But it depends when we want to open the door. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the recent avatar of Krishna. He is Krishna himself. And he wanted this Sankirtan movement to go to every town and village of the world. But he didn't do it. It's an interesting thought. If the Lord predicted that one day the Sankirtan movement of chanting of Hare Krishna, which is the essence of this movement, both for us and those who live outside of our communities, it's the essence. If that was his desire, why didn't he do it? He just took the Sankirtan movement to, well, around India. There was the famous pilgrimage described by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. How the Lord left Puri, went to South India, came back up to the western coast, Karnataka, Madhya Pradesh, I've just been there, so I know, Udupi, up further to Vrindavan. So why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu take that Sankirtan movement outside of India? There's a nice story in this connection, and because it's such a mysterious thing, we rely on the vision, the realization of a pure devotee to understand the answer. And that comes from Srila Prabhupada. One time Srila Prabhupada was walking on the beach in Juru Beach with his disciples. And this question was poised by one disciple. Good question. Srila Prabhupada, if Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's capable of anything. Usham, Asham Udva means that no one can be equal to or no one can be greater than God. Asham Udva. So certainly, if the Lord can come all the way from the Loka Vrindavan to this earthly planet, he can go to America, Australia, or China. Why didn't he? Of course, the devotee posed the question in a much more simple way. He asked Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya is God, and he predicted the Sankirtan movement would go all over the world. Why didn't he do it? Oh, Prabhupada, I don't think anyone had ever asked Prabhupada that question. So many questions were asked, but no one had asked that question. So Prabhupada stopped. And perfect questions, perfect answers. He stopped and he put his cane into the sand and he kind of looked upwards like that. And he said, why didn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world? Because he wanted me to do it. So that way we can appreciate how Prabhupada is a favorite son. Just like many of you are now businessmen and you want to ensure the business goes on. So you give it to your dearest. You give it to your eldest son. You train them accordingly. You have confidence because blood is thicker than water. We say this in America. Family ties are very strong. So the real family is the family of God. That's our real family. Actually, this takes some purity, it takes some realization, it takes some time to understand that my immediate family is dear to me. But dearest to my heart is the family of God, because Krishna says in Gita that he is the seed-giving father of every living entity. And our real home is not Delhi or London or Los Angeles or Sydney. Our real home is the spiritual world. So in that family of God, Lord chose Srila Prabhupada to be his ambassador to fulfill this prophecy. So who is Srila Prabhupada? One time a disciple asked Prabhupada, who are you in the spiritual world? And Prabhupada replied, if I told you, you would faint. And one time, after Prabhupada had recovered from an illness in India, He was quite sick. It was a flu-like illness. And you know, when you get ill, then you become pale, like that. And Prabhupada had just recovered, and he that paleness had gone away, the sickliness had gone away. And Prabhupada, he looked at his arm and said, "Oh, now I've got my color back. This red is gold. This is my color in the spiritual sky." And the disciples said, "What, Srila Prabhupada? Can you say more?" So of course we don't think of our spiritual master in that sense, in his liberated, well, it's always liberated. We don't think of him in his term, in the sense of his citadea, his spiritual form. We're confident, we see him in his mission here, as his service there is very dear to him. His service here in the material world, spreading Krishna consciousness, is no less dear, because it's the desire of the Lord. So by serving our spiritual master's mission here, by serving Srila Prabhupada's mission here, which means to spread Krishna consciousness according to our own abilities. Sankirtan means the complete glorification of the Lord, so everyone has something valuable to offer to make the process complete. By serving the Sankirtan mission of our spiritual master here, we qualify ourselves to serve him in his service there in the spiritual world. It's as simple as that. It's not complicated. If we serve what is dear to him here, and we accomplish to the best of our ability to serve his mission here, that is our qualification for entering into Vaikuntha and beyond to Goloka Vrindavan, which is really the point of bhakti for every member of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. It's stated that generally those who are, Prabhupada said, that generally those who are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their goal is Goloka Vrindavan. Because that is the culture and philosophy introduced and elaborated on, or introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and elaborated on by the six postponements of Vrindavan. So, that great ambassador from the spiritual world, Srila Prabhupada, he came to London. And he was also excited to come to London because he knew that was the original desire of his spiritual master, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paribhachipacharya Ashtatarsa Sri Sri Sima Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. Being also a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that Guru Parampara, he saw the opportunity in the 1930s for actually spreading the Sankirtan movement beyond India. Perhaps up until then, it was an impossibility. Although Prabhupada did say impossible is a word in the Fool's Dictionary, it may not have been practical, it may have been risky, you might say, for those first 400 years to try to, you know, have a Harinam party going through some Indian village in North Dakota. I don't know what would have happened. Or somewhere here in England during some warfare or something. But in the 1930s, Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur actually, from the inspiration of his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he saw that opportunity. So he sent some of his top men here, some of his top sannyasis, he sent them here. And he was so determined. He gave them, well, those sannyasis, he gave them Srinda Mantra. This is a special mantra which was revealed in a vision to Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was facing great opposition and pioneering the Krishna conscious movement for practically nothing in the late 1800s in India. That's a long story. But Srinadeva appeared to him and gave him a mantra to protect him. So that mantra he gave to his son, Bhima Prasad, who was later to become Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. He gave him that mantra along with the deity of Kurmadeva, Shalagram Srila of Kurmadeva. The idea being that this is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is the nectarian ocean of devotional service. So Kurma, holds up the ocean, turtle. So he gave him that Kuna Chalagram, which was actually found when they unearthed the original site of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birth site and built the temple there. That Chalagram was also found, the small deity of Vishnu. So he gave him that, and he gave him the Shrinka Mantra. And a confidential mantra meant only for sannyasis. And that mantra was later given to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave that mantra to his disciples going to the West. Because there's a saying in India, traditional saying, which we often quote traditional sayings if they're in line with our philosophy, that a sadhu should not cross beyond the borders of Bharat. Because, as we say in India, very dangerous. Nowadays they're mixing the English words in India. So many I hear people say, Swamiji, very dangerous. Don't go in that field because there's sarp, a snake. It's a very dangerous. So to go outside of India, of course nowadays India is becoming like the West. At least Modi is trying to stop the cow slaughter. Another thing. But previously India was Bharat. Bharat means the land of light. Bharat means the land of light, but light in the sense of transcendental knowledge, which illuminates everything as it is. So for a sadhu to go outside of India is dangerous, because the further west you go, the more the darkness of ignorance is there. It's like you see the lamp on the light on the wall. So the brightest spot is where the light is coming from. The further you go away, then less light, and finally darkness. So Bharat, originally Bharat, is the light of the world. There's no spiritual culture on this planet, in the solar system, in this universe, in this creation, like the original spiritual culture of India, which essentially is Krishna consciousness. So to leave that was a bit risky. So he gave them the Shringa Mantra, because the Shringa protects. Om Aam Rim Shram Om Fat Om Tataka Hattaka Keshika Dilat Parikulochana Dibharata Nata Sparsha Dibhasimha Namoshvite. That's not the mantra. Oh my Lord, O transcendental lion, I offer my respects to you along with Mother Lakshmi. Sometimes flying in the sky, sometimes moving on foot, your mane hairs glow with a wonderful brilliance. Your glance and the touch of your nails, Sparsha, Divasimha Namoshu. Your glance and the touch of your nails are both the source of auspiciousness. So the glance is meant for devotees. When we go before the deity, it's not just we're looking at the deity. The better part is the deity is looking at us. And by his glance, Cheto Dharma Marjanam. That's why advanced devotees don't just take a peek and go to work. They stand before the deity as much time allows them. So the Lord can glance into their heart, and by that glance, purification comes. And eventually, prema comes by the Lord's blessings. So Narasimha, if he, any impact, they look at you, you're blessed. But also, if you're on the level of Kamsa or Ravana or Hiranyakashipu, if you're that sinful, then you get the spark, you get the nails. I recommend the other process. You go before the Lord and beg for several service. But if you're a big rascal, then to save society from you, the Lord will use his nails. So he's the source of all auspiciousness. So this Nishrinda mantra was given to those sannyasis. And to several of those sannyasis, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he gave one Govardhan Shila, he gave one to the same sannyasi, he gave one Govardhan Shila, one Shalagram Shila, and one Dwarka Shila. This is something I didn't know, but I found out recently. We had the opportunity to meet in Orissa one of the last living disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I traveled 300 kilometers in Orissa. That's like going from here to Istanbul. The difficulty involved in traveling 300 miles or kilometers in Orissa is not an easy thing, in the back country. To meet a disciple, a Mukherjee himself, who was 103 years old. But so agile, he was more agile than me. I'm in my 60s. He said, young man, I knew that he was on the bottom of the concept of life. Well, thank you. So he said, young man, go fetch this. And I was going slow, so he ran and got the other one. Wow. So we were asking him so many things about his guru. He's very alert, no dementia, Alzheimer's. He's very sharp his whole life. Like Prabhupada, he said, I never knew what was sinful activity, Prabhupada said in time. And Prabhupada said, there was never a moment I forgot the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. Ooh, so, oh my God. I do not know what it's like. Nowadays, everyone knows because it's broadcast everywhere without shame. On the internet, on the radio, on the movie, on this plane over, they were watching a movie and it was very loud and they were using very foul language. I never imagined it would be like that. Four little words and all the youngsters were watching. Prabhupada said, I do not know. So he also said, I have not known any sin in my life. This is an older generation, which is, it's old India, that type of, we won't see that much anymore, that older culture of India. So when he went to you, asked me so many questions. I said, Maharaj, can I see your beads? He said, oh, my japa. He said it like, a millionaire talks of his wealth or something, my japa. And he took his japa like this and pulled it very slowly out of his bag. And he said, you see the shine? Since I was 14, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. I said, can I see? He said, you can chant. I said, this is Vaishnava. These are the beads that were chanted by Bhakti Shimon Saraswati Thakur. And this Vaishnava, 103 years old, I took those beads. I said, huh, can I chant? He said, one round. Took me an hour and a half. He said, you chant very nicely. He said, it's all pretense. So he asked me many questions. I asked him. I said, in Mani Mahath, when the Guru Mahath was, you know, just booming and going to doing, I said, after Guru Mahath, the initiation process was taken up by so many of your godmothers. He said, yes, and the 80s too. I said, wow. I said, there's some people in my room who'd like to meet you. He said, oh, he said, yes, I can. Four or five of my god sisters, they initiated. I said, oh, can I record this? He said, this is surprising. My Guru Maharaj, he was very bold in his preaching. I said, Hare Krishna. And he went on to tell us many wonderful things about Krishna Saraswati Thakur. So he tells us this fact that those tanasis, they got Murugan, they got Shalimon, and they got Dwarka. And I said, the Dwarka Shield is mentioned. He said, yes, Shkanda Purana. I said, there's a little controversy in our movement. He said, you're all speculating. He said, you reach Shkanda Purana. He said, the worship of the Gopa, the worship of the Shalagram is enhanced a thousandfold by worshiping along with the Dwarka Shield. He said, the best of all is because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gave Miraj to Raghunath Das Goswami. Then he got really emotional. So he advanced about it. So, like this, Bhakishwara Saraswati sent his sannyasis to London. And Prabhupada would say they didn't do much. But at the same time, I read that he gave them credit. They came and they went to the top. royalty. But real revolutions are instigated and initiated, is a better word, and carried out by the mass of people. When you think of a revolution, you don't think of it coming from the top. The revolution is amongst the mass of people. So really, Mahaprabhu's desire was that, yes, the leadership, the leaders of the world, they hear about Krishna consciousness, but in Kali Yuga, the kings are mostly like thieves, according to Bhagavatam. So the revolution, which is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, that this Bhagavatam created a revolution amongst the mass of people, a spiritual revolution. That happened when Prabhupada sent his householders to London in 68, they came. Something was accomplished, but not much. I think they brought back one devotee from Germany, I believe. And he became an initiated disciple of Krishna and disciple of Kapoor. But the mission was more or less stopped, that particular mission was stopped by Krishna and Saraswati Thakur because he felt that it wasn't being successful, but it was very dear to his heart. But Srila Prabhupada, he sent some of his first disciples, Grihastras. One time Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj created an army of sannyasis. I am creating an army of Grihastras. And he empowered them. Actually, when Malati went to Montreal, they all went to Montreal before coming to London, Malati told me this story personally. She asked Prabhupada if they could touch his feet. The dust of the feet of a pure devotee, the water that has washed his feet, and the remnants of food left on his plate are all the source of unlimited spiritual growth. So Malati asked Prabhupada if they could touch his lotus feet. So Prabhupada said yes. So she kissed his feet. This is bold. She kissed Prabhupada's feet. Hare Krishna. And I think that's why she's GBC now. She's a very wonderful devotee. We just had one retreat in America, Sada Sangha retreat, I think it's our fourth year. We had around 2,000 devotees. Malati was there. Very blissful devotee. She speaks very nicely. Very humble. Very wonderful devotee. So that way those householders came here, and you know if you've read Dean Torrey's book started by Jumana Devi, you know some of the glorious history of that. How many of you have read Jumana's book? Dean Torrey's book? What is it called? Jumana's? A Spiritual Journey? Is it called? There's two volumes, yeah. What's the first one called? Yeah. This is a wonderful book. Every Iskcon devotee has to read that book about Jumana's life. It's available on Amazon on the Kindle version. That's how I got it. Couldn't stop reading it. That's all I read in America. Wonderful book. It describes the pioneer days of preaching Krishna consciousness here. So that's the history. That's the glory of this country. That the Sankirtan movement came here. It was inaugurated by those faithful first group of disciples of Srila Prabhupada to come here. Jumana, because it's kind of co-written by Jumana, because she passed away, she wasn't able to finish, so Dean Tarni took up the process. But Jumana is always referring to this, she calls it Krishna magic. And it's true, actually, because it's, another word you could say is miracle. Miracle is something that contradicts the laws of nature. In terms of ISKCON, that would be divine intervention, how the Lord intervenes to contradict the laws of nature, to transplant a spiritual culture into a materialistic civilization of Kali Yuga, it's impossible. But as it unfolds, you see the magic of how it's happening, and it gives you so much faith. to see that happening, how the Lord intervenes. So you read about Jamuna's life and you see how the Lord intervenes so many times in her life. And she was always seeing that and acknowledging that and appreciating that. So she called it the Krishna magic. You know, how did ISKCON, just 6 or 9 devotees, how did they capture the heart of the world's superheroes? Who are the superheroes of the world? The Beatles. We call them Fab Four here. Now it's all history, but actually that it didn't happen is amazing. It's a miracle. Who could approach those young men? They were in very high pedestal. The Mahasi had a good idea. You know? They had their Apple Studios, so bake them an apple pie. And take it and give it to the secretary. And then as she tastes it, she'll tell the boys upstairs how nice it is. And she'll take it upstairs one day and they'll start eating it. And they'll get addicted to it, not just because it's an apple tart, but because it's Lord Chaitanya's secret weapon. Shri Bhagavata Prasadam Ki. That is how you tame wild animals. You can tame a wild animal. You can tame a tiger by giving it food. And if you give that tiger food long enough, then you can, that tiger will jump through a ring of fire for you to get that food. You can tame animals by giving them food. When I was young, we lived near a park and I used to feed the animals. And one day my father, there were squirrels everywhere, there was a little fox, you know, and I was feeding them. How is this possible? Every day I come, Daddy, and I feed them. So yes, you can tame a wild animal by food. So, with all due respect to the Fab Four, they were tamed, at least George, and others, they all benefited by this brilliant idea of Malati to give them an apple pie and cakes. It was all sent upstairs, and you know the history. How they were invited, how Shamsundar was invited upstairs, and the Beatles were dining on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's secret weapon. And once the poison is injected, it never goes away. Probably the good poison in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can't maybe not distribute that much prasadam, but we can go in the streets and loudly chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And let the fag end of that period in 1971, I was able to, I also came to London after all the hard work was done, and we had 7 brewery place. But that era had a special aura to it. It was a golden age within a golden age. Pioneering. The pioneering spirit has something very special about it. There's very few places left where you can pioneer the Krishna conscious movement, but that was a special era. I remember coming into the temple at Seven Brewery Place, and Sri Bhuvanath was playing Mridanga with his infectious, talking about poison, his infectious smile. He had big teeth. Sri Bhuvanath, big teeth. He would smile, and the whole world would melt. And he would bang the drum. I should say play the drum, but he had a style. Tick tick boom, tick tick boom, tick tick boom boom. I think he only knew one beat. But he would beat that drum, his teeth, some of his eyes. He would get, the kirtan was raging, never forget. And I was staying in France for many years, and I would always tell my GPC, he said, you know, you want to take a break? I want to go alone and chant with Sri Bhuvanath. So a couple of times I got the opportunity to come over and go to Harinam down the streets of London. So those Harinams were unforgettable. But yes, so London is that era, the fag end of that era that it went from 68 into the 70s. It was special. Of course, every moment is special in Krishna consciousness. Because every era has its unique nature. But, you know, when Prabhupada was here, that was a special time. And many of you know, of course, that we were able to fly with Prabhupada to London in 1971. for some men to go to France and open a temple. There was a fledgling temple there, but very fledgling. And when I first walked in, I bowed down and the altar crashed down. I hope it wasn't because of me. And it was on these little cheap pieces of wood, and everything was like, whoa. And the curtains were all dirty, and you know, this is so Prabhupada, he said, so he wants some room, so my GBC volunteered, and he said he was asking for someone to accompany him. And I immediately came forward and I said, I've been to Europe before. I've been there like, you know, 2 weeks. I said, I know all the towns, I know all the villages, I know how to take trains, I can even walk across the continent. I know the best cheap hotels, and you know, I know, this. All right, so you can come. So on one condition, Srila Prabhupada is leaving New York on such and such a date, and if you can get us on the same flight, you can come with me to France. So he was saying that because all the flights were booked up months in advance. As you know, when you try to fly from America to Europe or vice versa. So I got on the phone. It was Pan Am, I think, in those days. And a lady got on the phone representing Pan Am. She said, I'm sorry, young man. That flight is overbooked. I said, but no. I want to go with my guru. With what? No, I'm going with my guru. She said, what's a guru? This is, you know, 60s. She said, oh, I think I've heard of that word, a guru. I said, it's a spiritual master. A what? I said, like a spiritual teacher? She said, oh, okay. I said, I'm really dependent on him. He's my life, the love of my life, and serving his mission is all that I want. I went on and on. Finally, I realized, time after time, I said, you still there? She said, I'm listening. Maybe she became a bit older, I don't know. She said, that is wonderful. I've never heard of such a wonderful relationship. I said, yeah, and that's why I want to get on the plane with him. She said, let me speak to my supervisor. She came back, she said, there's 162 people on the waiting line, but I convinced my supervisor that you want to sit next to your guru. So you have two seats on that flight. So then she said, you don't generally give seats like this, you have to come down, those little days come to the office. And she said, well, what's his name? And I said, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So what's the last name? I said, that's the name. I said, try Swami. She said, okay, I'll put you next to him on the plane. I said, well, there's two of you. There's Mr. Ehrlichman and there's me. Put me next to him. And she did a little bit, right? So, bottom line, I asked her, did you get us on the same plane? I said, yeah. And so, we see the near Prabhupada. It's like a white lie. So many things happened, but on that flight. But when we got to the airport here, because we're speaking about London, and for me, London means Hare Krishna. Right? Prabhupada wrote off London. They asked Prabhupada, "What do you think of London?" And Prabhupada said, "London is hell." That interview, out of the airport, and the reporter, Prabhupada was so bold. Next day in the paper, Swami says London is hell. I got a lot of people to read. And they kept giving him a visa even when he said that. I am not saying, Krishna is saying. He used to say it like that. He gets it when he called people rascals. So, we got to London, and yeah, for me, London is like Mantra. There's all these memories. So then Prabhupada's bag was missing. With the books, he had probably carried it. There was no computers in those days. Now you can, someone gave me one small little USB drive. It was just teensy weensy like this the other day. Everything Prabhupada ever said was on there. And you know, you can put more. But in those days, Prabhupada had to take the books of Srinath Chakravarti Thakur and Dhammantash Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Sridhar Swami, the original Sridhar Swami's commentary on Bhagavatam, you know, Kirtan, right? It's like, was always doing tons of, all we have to pay overweight for that piece of luggage. It was so heavy. So it didn't show up. When they arrived, my bag came off. And I had one small little bag. Prabhupada said, he looked at me and said, very nice. One small little bag. So then, yeah, but he had some little bags, he didn't have a big bag, and I was smiling at him. Big bag, so then, the Prabhupada's bag didn't come. So Prabhupada said, somebody has to stay back and wait. I think Indraduma should stay back and wait. So Prabhupada said, yes, Indraduma shall stay and wait. I'm trying to hide behind the camera so nobody would see me before that. So then I waited, and then the bag came about 2 hours late. And it was one of those beautiful English weather days, you know, cloudy and drizzly, cold. And I took the bag out of the airport, and I couldn't carry it. I was a young man, 19 I think at that time. Strong. Couldn't lift it. And I dragged it to the taxi. And I told the guy in the taxi driver, I said, where do you want to go? Set it pretty place. He said, you having a bad day, boy? Anyway, it was good to say, but, you know, it was a long flight, and I was tired, and, you know, I heard the Beatles were going to be a seven-day place. I'll be honest. And I wanted to meet them, too, but most important, Prabhupada was going to be lecturing, and he was going to be doing kirtan, and I had not yet had the darshan of Brother Lundanish for it, who they told me, you know, were installed by Prabhupada, and they were so dear. So the taxi ride, there was the traffic, and finally we got to Sevenbury Place, and I always had this picture. Somebody put a picture up the other day from those days of Sevenbury Place, and it looked exactly as it does in my dreams. It was like, for me, looking at that picture is like entering to the gates of Vaikuntha, the pearly gates, where you get there and then, you know, they check your visa if you get in. So there's the door and there's, you know, and it was just, I still remember that. And I opened the wet door and walked in, and all the boys were in front, laying down on the left side, called LSD. After a big feast, LSD, left side down. The Prabhupada said, if you lie on the left side, you digest better. There are paper plates, and all the paper plates have those finger streaks going through them. And you know, whatever was there was so good, the boys had just... And I came and I said, hi, guys, is any prasadam left? Ah, nothing. Who are you? I said, I'm Indra Dunadas. I came with Prabhupada. I brought his lost bag here. Is anything left? No, but tell you, Prabhu, those were the best gulab jamuns we ever had. I ate 20. I ate 31. Is there anything left? Look, you guys. Can you help me? I'm so tired. Can you help carry this bag upstairs? Oh, I can't even move, Prabhu. Just maybe one of you could. Oh, all right. So where's Prabhupada's room? What floor was it on? Remember? Third floor. Yeah. And those stairs in Bird Place, they were typical British schmall. I was telling David Prostat, because I just came from America, you know, we passed through Texas. Everything's huge there, big. Here, when you drive through London, everything's like, I'm sorry to say this, like a dollhouse. It's cute. There's no country on earth. I said, I really like London. I like it. He said, you do? But we're driving through a little suburb, and everything was tiny compared to Texas. So it's like a little dollhouse. I guess you can't catch that anyway. So, the steps were kind of, yeah, they went up like that, and they were small, you know, and I have size 12 American feet. So it was like the last straw. And I got to the third floor, and then the doors had a beautiful brass plate there. The room is the vibration, the AC Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And what I should have done is should have knocked, which is the proper etiquette. But, you know, I was tired and I was done devotee. And I just opened the door. And it went, because the building was a little like that. So I turned around and by this time I was dragging it. I dragged the suitcase in backwards. And Nanda Kumar said, "Watch out, you're going to bump into Srila Prabhupada." And I froze. And I turned around, and there was Prabhupada in his gumsha. It was a pink and white gumsha. It was very nice. And Prabhupada had just finished his massage in this aroma of sandalwood. Just, whenever I smell sandalwood now, I think of Prabhupada. I can't help it, because that was the, it made such an indelible, like a shamskara, such an indelible impression of smelling, you know, the perfume, the sandalwood oil from the body of a pure devotee. It just, it was all transcendentalized, everything, so that the smell, so whenever I smell sandalwood, I think of Prabhupada standing there. And he was effulgent like the sun. He was a small stature, but he seemed like a giant. I felt like I was looking up. I was looking down, but I thought, what? One time Prabhupada was crossing the street here in London. And you, there are bodies, right?
Bodies.
Bodies. So the body grabbed Shama Sundar's arm and he said, "Look, your teacher is glowing like the sun. You can see." I was like that. No. So then I looked at Prabhupada. So then I did my obeisances. And loudly, like, you know, the disciple offers obeisances, it should be done verbally, it should be consciously done, so that you hear, you know, we do silently, but actually it should be audible. That you're, because when something's audible, you can hear, and the hearing process is it goes to the heart. We don't chant silently. We chant so that audibly, because the sound vibration becomes more powerful. That's why congregational chanting is the best form of chanting, because it's very loud and it penetrates to the ignorance and goes straight to the heart. Om Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Tadani Namaste Sarasati Devi Yogananda Yogi Shashtrina. All of a sudden, on my back, a hard, firm, strong slap. Right here, I can still feel it. On the transcendental medium. I thought, I'm against tattoos, but if I ever got a tattoo, that would be my tattoo. The impact was infinite. Like we had this foot in front, I would have this hand. The hand of his divine grace is. I almost did it. Me and the Maharaj almost did it. And I said, "Somebody, now all my disciples get tattoos all over their bodies, so we don't have to do this yet." He said, "I wasn't thinking of doing anything, I was just testing him." So then Prabhupada said something. And I was froze, because it was, believe me, almost knocked the wind out of me. It was so hard. And it was done in firm appreciation. Although at the time I thought Prabhupada was angry with me. Because I broke an etiquette. I came in without making an announcement, without, you know. Then I saw the two lovers' feet turn, and I kind of watched, turned my head. So I went to get, I think, take his bath. So I stood up. And Nanda Kumar was there. His jaw was like, how do you call that? Aghast. His jaw dropped, okay. And he was looking at me. I said, "What happened?" He said, "Prabhupada slapped you in the back." I said, "Yeah, I know." He said, "I never saw him do that before." I'm like, "Really?" One time Prabhupada patted me on the head. We were in was, we were at the Fontenelle Rose, Le Vin and Le Fontenelle Rose. The name of the street was the name of the town. And every morning it was a small house. A papa would come down the stairs and he would go into the small temple room to do the morning program. So he would take his slippers off there. So I got the bright idea that I would stay and I'd take the slippers off and put them back on. So I did that for 3 mornings in a row. And then the third morning, Papa had a little difficulty getting in, so I helped put his foot in. And he patted me and said, "You're a good boy." So I thought, well, I made it. Just keep serving, you know, if I said I'm a good boy. So what more do you want? You can serve millions and millions of lifetimes to get that one benediction. I was thinking. And that happened. I said, here's a pure devotee who has a very intimate, confidential, loving relationship with the divine couple in the groves of Vrindavan, and is fully focused on that relationship. But he takes a few years of his precious time to come to the material world and spend time with us. So I thought, Prabhupada's like fully engaged in the service of Radha and Krishna, but for a few moments I was just there with him, and he said, "You're a nice boy." I thought, what? I said, "Now my life's perfect. I'll just spend the rest of my life just serving him. I've already achieved liberation. There's just so much more to come, but I'm perfectly happy, and just the rest of my life I'll just give it wrong." Like Papa told Vishnu John Maharaj. He said, since you've come to this material world, you've been a demigod, you've been a snake from the lower planets. You've been everything. And are you happy? No, to the Lord. They give this one lifetime of Vishnu. Just, you've been a businessman, you've been an athlete, you've been Brahma, you've been a thief, you've been an ant, you've been a snake. You've done everything time and time and again. Brahmana Brahma Jipani Bhagavad Ranji. But the one thing you haven't done is give your life to Krishna. Your full life, Atmani Vedana. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Arjanam, Manam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedana. You haven't fully surrendered to Krishna. So why? He said, just make the experiment and see what happens. You've got nothing to lose. You've done everything, whether it's in others, been there, done that. Just give this one lifetime to Krishna and see what happens. And I think Maharaj did that. A very surrendered disciple. After he left, Tamal Krishnamur asked Prabhupada. Tamal told me this in confidence. He said, "Where is Vishnu John?" And Prabhupada smiled. He said, He's nicely situated. Do not worry. There's no loss, there's only gain by surrendering to Krishna. So, Papa left. I stood up. He slapped you on the back. I never saw him. And he said something to you. I said, "Yes, what did he say?" He said, "Oh, he told you. So much endeavor in this material world. But when I take you back to Godhead, everything will be easy and sublime." So what the pure devotee says to one disciple is actually meant for all disciples. Of course, there are cases where there were special instructions according to time, place, and circumstance. But this is a general benediction that we can all take, because we all know how difficult this world is. Everyone has his or her story. Life's tough, and then you die. And, you know, we go to work with a smile on our face, and, you know, we're in the social life, but, you know, many of us are crying inside. And if you're not, you're foolish, because wherever you are, you still have to face birth, disease, and now old age has come. I'm facing old age. And death. We'll all have to face death. So this is, probably said one time, this material world is no place for a lady or gentleman. There's no place for a lady or gentleman. We should just do our routine activity, but our main focus should be Krishna consciousness. That should be the beating of our heart. One time Prabhupada was walking on Stinson Beach and the waves were breaking, kaboom, kaboom, kaboom. And he turned to Mukunda and he said, "So, what is that sound?" And Mukunda said, "Prabhupada, that's the the waves of the ocean breaking on the beach. He said, no, that is the sound of the gopis' heartbeats feeling separation from Krishna. So that should be our heartbeat, that should be our goal. That was the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He introduced the Sankirtan movement, which culminates in going back to Godhead, where we enter into the mood of the Rajabhasis, particularly the gopis in Vrindavan. That should be our heartbeat. So then, wow, I thought that was so wonderful. So that would be another tattoo. I don't know whether that one in the front. Like Malati, she has a tattoo on her neck. Kidana Pisa Nichana, I told her Pisa Kisana. Now it's fading. I told her, she said, it's all right. You don't get tattoos after 60. That's something young people do, right? So then, we stayed for 2 days, and then I have to admit I was a little nervous. I didn't understand the maxim that in spiritual life, along with the instruction of the spiritual master, comes the ability to execute. This is the beauty of spiritual life. You may get some challenging service. We may even think my vows are difficult to follow. Sometimes it's easy when you're young. As you grow older, you think, did I take those vows? I was just a young whippersnapper. You know, mind has some temptations, and the race isn't over till it's over. But we should understand that along with the instruction of the spiritual master in transcendental life comes the ability to fulfill it. And the spiritual master will never give us any instruction which is too difficult for us. But I was nervous, and I think Prabhupada perceived that, you know. So he called me to his office at 7 Burry Place. In fact, I told Devaprastha I want to go there tomorrow. And get out of the car and pay my dandabhats. All the street, the wet street of London. Imagine what all the passengers, all the pedestrians are going to think. Here's this Hare Krishna laying down on the wet sidewalk, mumbling something. And little do they know the great history of this country, the Prabhupada's lotus feet blessed the sidewalk and the number of these buildings. So Prabhupada called me and he could see, he said, so I want you to go there and you, Bhagavan came, and you invite devotees, then you translate my books into French. You get them published, you make them look very nice because French people are philosophers. And then Bhagavan did that. He published very nice Bhagavatams and other books in a deluxe edition, and it worked well in France, to his credit. And he fulfilled that order, Sri Prabhupada. And made many devotees, and he said, I think the French will like our philosophy. And they did. The distribution was very nice. I was just saying as I was walking in that I could have gone on doing that book distribution to the end of my life. It was so nice. How many of you have distributed books? It wasn't meant to be a historical part of our movement. It's meant to go on forever. And because Kali gets worse, it doesn't get better. And people need knowledge. And of the four principles, kindness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity, they're all gone except for a little truthfulness, Prabhupada said. So because of that truthfulness, when people read Prabhupada's books, they can see, some people will see, this is the right path, and they'll take it up. So, but I was nervous. I was thinking, oh my God, it's so good. So God looked at me, he said, so, he said, I will give you some incentive, he said. Get that. I'll give you some incentives. And I reached over and he took up one of his dhotis that was piled up, it had just been laundered, and he handed it to me. And he said to me, a gift from a Vaishnava is a very special thing. And it was just a piece of old cloth. It was faded. But I was thinking, even if you gave me all the wealth in this material creation, it wouldn't equal one thread of this cloth. And I used to wear it. Remember Vishiksha? I would sometimes wear that cloth. And I remember Guru Kripa came one time, Maharaj. He said, that ain't your color. You're a Vihashtra. Give me that cloth. I said, there's no way. And then he was gone. I said, this cloth is given to my Srila Prabhupada. There's only one way you can get it, that's take it off me. Come on. And Guru Kripa, you don't want to mess with him. He backed down. I was so touched. Today I got a beautiful gift from one of my disciples, Sundari Kripa. And actually, I've always wanted something like this. It's a little button that says this on it. Where are you, Sundari? Stand up. You will be my little This is from the dinosaur age, 1980s. This goes way back. And I don't know, are you making these in London, the Tories? I don't know, I've never seen it. And I've always, the president of my country, is in Barack Obama, don't applaud. He's not very popular. But he does carry a little holy pendant in his pocket, I heard. And this day is going back to Hawaii. But he wears, and you always see it in the newsreels, he has this little pendant of, you know, God bless America with the American flag. And I see it often, I think, wouldn't it be nice if somebody made an ISKCON pendant like that, that we could wear, you know, on the corner of our bead bag? Or something. I often think that whenever I see him on the news or on the phone, he's got, my eyes go straight to that. I know, I was just attracted to it. And today, when Sunny gave this to me, I almost started crying. This is exactly what I wanted. So, a gift from the Vaishnava is a very special thing. I will always wear this. Yeah, thank you. So then, Prabhupada gave me an instruction. And I heard, as a young devotee, I heard that Prabhupada based his whole life on instruction that he received from his Guru Maharaj, which was, if you, there were several instructions, but in the same way. You look like a nice, educated young man at the first meeting. Why don't you take your Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's message and spread it in the English language, meaning to the West. That was Prabhupada's first instruction. Never get money print books. There were several times like that. And of course, Prabhupada was a Grihastha for many, many years, and he actively began doing that. Well, towards the end, towards the end of his Grihastha life, I believe back to God, it was an idea, but when he took sannyas, it became manifest, but it took some time. But he then went up with him, Bhagavad Gita, by Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, that one should make the instruction of the spiritual master one with his life. And at that point, Prabhupada actually became very emphatic about carrying out that order. And one time, Gurdjieff Swami had not carried out an order for Prabhupada, I forget what it was, but there was some excuse in the sense that Gurdjieff Swami was busy with other matters. So Prabhupada told him, he said, you can delay the order, but you cannot ignore it. You can delay the order, but you can't ignore it. So Prabhupada delayed because he was a responsible Grihastha. But then, as fate would have it, meaning as Krishna would have it, Prabhupada eventually left household and life and took up the greater family of mankind. So I heard that, I was thinking, you know, I just have an instruction for my spiritual master. I was telling that to the devotees, but Prabhupada's orders are there. Wouldn't it be nice if he said something to me that which I could base my life on? And then it happened that day, here in London. That's why I get emotional when I come to London. I was flying in, I was like getting all emotional. And Prabhupada, after giving me the dhoti, he leaned over his desk, about halfway, he looked me in the eyes, he said, Indraguna, preach boldly and have faith in the Holy Names. And in my heart, it became like, it was like etched in stone. God has stolen my card. So it was etched in stone. Preach boldly and have faith in the Holy Names. You can say, well, it's just two simple instructions. You can base lifetimes. And we should, because we should think that until the order of our spiritual master is accomplished, we can't ask for anything higher. We do, of course, want to go to the Loka. That is our philosophy, and that's our ultimate goal. But we should think that we should have the we should think that until the desires of my spiritual master are fulfilled in this world, that I will not ask to go back to the spiritual world. Maybe he will take us. That is his wish. That will happen. But so I got that instruction. And again, whatever instruction we get, that the spiritual master gives, and that instruction can be imbibed, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, devotional service is something that's imbibed. It's a nice word. He used that word because he was very proficient in English. So imbibe is a very nice word. So he said, devotional service is something that is imbibed. So you can imbibe the same thing. To preach boldly, which means you have to take risks. We have to go outside of our comfort zone because they don't live in our comfort zone. They mean our brothers and sisters outside of the movement. We don't think we're better than them, we just think we're more fortunate because we are graced as first or second or third generation as followers of Prabhupada. So let's take those instructions, preach and have faith in chanting these beautiful holy names which now spread throughout this great country. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Vishnu ki jai, Vandana ki jai, Shri Vandana ki jai, Jagannath Subhadra Bhai Deva ki jai, Hari Hari Vandana ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Bhagwan ki jai, Bhut Premanam Bhagwan Sankirtanya ki jai, Bhut Premanam Shukhavari ki jai. So I will sing through his work while I'll give your tongue to company. Thank you very much. I love you very much. I guess it was only time to speak for 2 or 3 minutes and not your time, but just speaking about the history of this yantra and devotees like Sri Bhagavanath Prabhu and our glorious Krishna Master, I couldn't even stop, so please forgive me. Thank you.